Today's reading comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied, and I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, take a stick of wood and write on it, belonging to Judah and the Israelites associated with them. Then take another stick of wood and write on it, belonging to Joseph, that is to Ephraim, and all the Israelites associated with him. Join them together into one stick so that they will become one in your hand. When your people ask you, won't you tell us what you mean by this? Say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I'm going to take the stick of Joseph, which is in Ephraim's hand, and of the Israelite tribes associated with him, and join it to Judah's stick. I will make them into a single stick of wood, and they will become one in my hand. Hold before their eyes the sticks you have written on, and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them back to their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be two nations or be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols and vile images, or with any of their offenses, for I will save them from all their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your ancestors lived. They and their children and their children's children will live there forever, and David my servant will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy, when my sanctuary is among them forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, can you believe it? We've got three more weeks of Ezekiel. You made it. Got tonight and two more Wednesday nights. And we'll be finished. All 48 chapters of Ezekiel. You did it. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, we thank you for these last several months for Ezekiel. It's not been easy. It's been a tough journey. But in tonight's reading, we see that there's hope. There's restoration. And we're thankful. And we ask you now, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross, that your word would be spoken, that you would be reflected through me and through all of us tonight. May our hearts be transformed. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, so God brings Ezekiel and sets him down in the center of a valley, a valley full of bones. Now, some of you are familiar with this passage, and that's why we chose Rattle tonight. We chose the New International Version translation because it actually uses rattle. And I want to thank our worship team for singing that song, Jordan. Thank you for listening to my request to do that song tonight. And they did outstanding, but I got to say, you did too. You sounded really well on that song tonight, so thank you for that. So there's this valley of bones, and we experience through this passage tonight that it's a vast, barren valley. So Ezekiel, he's getting a tour of this entire valley, and everywhere there are bones. Just picture, everywhere there are bones. So the vastness must be in itself sobering. Then comes the added words about those bones being utterly dry. Obviously, this devastation happened a long time ago. These bones are abandoned here, long dried out from years of baking under the sun in this unseen, deserted, and desolate valley. So let's pause for a moment and think about that valley. Where else in Scripture have we heard about a valley like this? Anybody? Psalm 23? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Okay, now, I've got a little treat for you tonight. Now, you can't do it right now. But make sure you got the two handouts that were given out tonight. If you didn't get them, make sure you get them before you leave tonight. One of them's got the notes for tonight. And then the other one has a wonderful, what I call, Lectio Divina exercise. You're like, what is that? It's a divine reading exercise that we want you to take home with you based on Psalm 23. So we're going to see the significance of these two valleys. It's a parallel, we like to call it. Okay? And you know it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me down paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're familiar with that psalm, but this little exercise you're going to take home tonight, it is going to mean something to you because you're going to do divine reading. And God's going to speak to your senses as you read through that exercise. So make sure you get that before you leave tonight. So the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is my shepherd. He guides me along the right path for His namesake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. So in both of these scriptures, Psalm 23 and Ezekiel 37, there is a valley. And both of those valleys are lonely and dark and desolate places, places of dying and demise. So in the Psalm 23, we're comforted by God's presence. David was comforted as he's writing this. We are comforted. Even when we walk through places that feel dark and lonely and frightening, in Ezekiel's vision as well, the Lord is with him. He's not alone. The Lord shows him this valley. So he's there. He's there. Who else went through a wilderness? Jesus. Who never left him? The Spirit. The Spirit never left him. The Scripture says the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Not devil. Everybody thinks the devil led him. The devil tempted him, but who led him into the wilderness? The same Spirit that had claimed him in his baptism led him into the wilderness. And I don't believe ever left him in that wilderness. It was with him when he walked out of that wilderness, ready to begin his ministry. So, Ezekiel is walking through this valley, through the sadness. There's loneliness. It's silent. It's cold. It's filled with death. You can almost hear the wind blowing softly through the desolate valley, can't you? Blowing over those brittle bones in an otherwise silent valley. bereft of human presence, lonely and uninhabited. It's the feeling of a ghost town. You know, some of our malls can feel like that. Have you been to the mall lately? It's not the same, is it? I mean, 20, 30 years ago, the mall was the place to be, wasn't it? I mean, you remember the food court, don't you? You could fill up on samples. I'm not even sure if there's more than one or two places in the mall that have food anymore. It's kind of a ghost town. That's happening across America, folks. There's another place that literally is called Ghost Town. Maybe you've heard of it. It's Ghost Town in the Sky in Maggie Valley. I went there when I was a teenager. It's closed now. It's been closed for like 20 years. But I remember going there in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. We would go to Lake Juneau, Alaska. It's Junaluska, by the way. Juneau, Alaska is a different place. John Ed knows that. But anyway, so I remember us going there, and there was a chairlift, and it was yellow. I just remember that, a little train in the parking lot. And we go up that chairlift, and you get to the top, and they had a roller coaster up there, and they had shoot-em-ups. You know what a shoot-em-up is? You know, a duel with pistols, you know? It was like it was real, but they were cap guns, I think. But it was, I hope they were. It was amazing. And then that place closed, and when it closed, it closed. And it is literally a ghost town. The chairlift's gone. The only way you can get up there is to sneak up there now. And people have snuck up there with cameras, you know, and put it on YouTube. I don't know what it is, but I like watching stuff like that. Abandoned, you know, water parks and theme parks and ghost town. And it is dusty and it's dry. Reminds me of that valley of dry bones. It's just vacated. It's sad. And I'm thinking, man, won't somebody buy it? I often think, maybe Dolly Parton ought to buy it. Open up another Dollywood in North Carolina. She could do it. She's got the money, but I don't think she's going to do it. Yeah. So, you know, you walk through a place like that. Everything is empty. It's silent. No people, no movement, no animation of life. This, we learn, is the state of a soul without God. That valley for Ezekiel represents the people of Israel who have turned away from God, who no longer resonate with the hopeful and joyful Spirit of God. God is not with them. They have rejected their Creator, their Sustainer, the one who gives them life, the one who gives them substance and sustenance. They've rejected Him. But like the psalm we so love, Ezekiel's prophecy is also good news. You're probably thinking, finally some good news in Ezekiel. Yes, here it is. God is going to give His people a new life, a kind of covenant. Why? This is clear in Scripture. Not because Israel has deserved it. They haven't. But because God loves them. That's it. Because He loves them. And when God does this miraculous act of restoration, Israel can't help but recognize God as the Creator once again. You know something? God always takes the first step. Maybe tonight, since He's taken the first step to you, just maybe, you'll take a step toward Him. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something if when you left here tonight, you're not the same person you were when you walked in those doors? You didn't just come to hear some music and a message, but God actually moved in your life to where you made a step toward Him. I've been praying that even before this service. We prayed that back here with the worship team, that God would do something mighty, and He's going to, and He already has. Because when we walked in here and we began to worship, we invited Him here. We said, "You're welcome here, Lord. We want You here. We need You here." And when He's wanted, when He's welcome and invited, guess what? He shows up. So we're in the presence of the living God right now. So think about that as we continue on with Ezekiel 37. You know, Israel is going to be restored. But they're going to have to go through this dark valley. And they have been through one. Are you walking through a dark valley of your soul? A dark night of the soul, as the mystic Saint John of the Cross might say, although he said it of what the church, not the world, would give you. Are you going through a bad time in your life? Do things seem all wrong? Things seem to be going bad? Do you feel alone? Are you struggling with depression or sadness? God is there with you, ready to restore your spirit to joy and gladness. Like, how do you know what I'm going through? How do you know He's going to do that? Because I've been there. I've been there. That woman will tell you, the man that's preaching tonight, he lives what he preaches. If he tells you he's been there, we've been through one together, several of them together. And my hunch is many of you have gone through a wilderness, maybe two or three, maybe you're going through one right now. My hunch is, at one time, this entire church was going through one together. You know what I'm talking about? Look what God is doing. Look what He's done. Look what He's going to continue to do, because you are the faithful. You're the faithful remnant. You're not just a remnant. You're thriving. And after tonight, I believe you're going to realize that. Not anything I'm going to say. It's going to be what God places in your heart tonight. You see, you might be going through life focused on your career, your family, your goals, your retirement, all that kind of thing. Things seem to be fine on the outside, but a bit empty on the inside. You might not be wearing a mask on your face, but like we learned early on in Ezekiel, you might have a mask over your heart. And you're trying to hold it all in. Do you feel there's something missing from your life, but you don't know how to feel it? Stephen, I've been a Christian for many, many years, but I still feel empty. I feel like there's something missing. Maybe tonight that void will be filled. Maybe you are in a dry place right now. God is ready. He's with you and He's ready to fill your soul with meaning and energy and peace that passes all understanding. Don't you love that when you're in a fix, Philippians 4:6, right? Peace that passes all understanding. Do not be anxious about anything. Through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And His peace that transcends, passes all understanding, will guard the hearts and minds of Christ Jesus. Is your life broken? Have you turned away from the good things in your life? Made mistakes? Done wrong? Do you feel ashamed or like you failed? I heard a wonderful bishop in the Global Methodist Church speak at my daughter's ordination this past weekend. She actually was here at New Room. And she was very bold with him, admitting that she had messed up herself. She said, get ready because you're going to mess up a lot. But God's grace is good. And when a bishop can say that, man, it's like the tension and the stress just, that doesn't give you a license to do anything you want, you know. But it does help you be reminded that we're not perfect, but we follow a perfect Savior. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God for that. But do you feel ashamed? Like you failed? Hanging on to the past failures? I had another superintendent years ago, Bob Bowling. Bob Bowling, Johnny, you know him. He said, you know, God created our eyes in the front of our head, not the back, so we wouldn't keep looking backwards. Sometimes we need to look back because we learn from our past. But He wants us to keep our eyes fixed and focused on the author, creator, perfecter, and pioneer of our faith, Jesus Christ, who also went through a wilderness, who also went through betrayal, who also felt sad, who also grieved, who also needed rest. You see, you serve a God that's ready to restore you and make you whole. God is here with you. He's ready to save your soul, resurrect your joy, heal your hurts, and forgive your sins. Has something happened in your life to make you numb? Numb to those you love? Just don't have the feelings anymore? Do you push people away? Do you run away from the relationships in your life? Do you lack trust in people or trust in Jesus? God is there. He's ready to break through your pain, to restore your faith, to lift you up, to set you free, to be that balm in Gilead that sets the prisoner free. When I was a kid sitting on the back row, I thought they said there is a balm with Gilligan. It's not it. Balm is a salve, you know, like Neosporin, I guess you could say. That helps you. It sets the prisoner free. No matter where you've wandered in your life's journey, no matter how far you've wandered from God or your faith or the things in life that make you feel alive and well, God is there to restore your soul. He's a never-ending fountain. You know John Wesley, you heard of him before? He had a question he asked the people around him every time they met for their weekly meetings, their bands, their holy clubs. Maybe you're part of a discipleship band or a group. The question, you probably know it. How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? Are you allowing Jesus to live through you, to heal you, to comfort you, to bring you the joy of His salvation, the joy of His salvation? Don't you love the way the psalmist in Psalm 51:10 puts it, somewhere in there? He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew that spirit. Bring me back to the joy of my salvation, where it's not mundane or mediocre. I've got joy. Can't wait to get to church. Can't wait to get up in the morning and praise Him, get into His Word and pray and just be still with Him. Favorite thing to do. I'm telling you that because it is my favorite thing to do. It is. Love it. And I love Him. I have in my hand a piece of pottery. Okay, this is a picture. Now, I'm going to refer to Lake Juneau, Alaska. I know I say that a lot. I told you my testimony about that, for those of you who remember that several years ago. This was made from the silt, the bottom of the lake. They drain the lake every year to work on the dam there, and this was made by a local artist and one of my former youth, Kevin Johnson, who's now in his 40s. He gave this to me. It's like perfect. It's beautiful, isn't it? Do you like it? I've tried making pottery. It's a lot harder than it looks. You know, you can look at that scene from Ghost, the 50 of us that know that movie, and you can imagine that anyone can just sit down at that little pottery wheel, you know, and whip off a beautiful piece of pottery. Any potters here? Anybody? Got any? No? They can tell you, though, a potter can, that it's not that easy. I was at Asbury Theological Seminary last week for a chaplain's professional development training. Did that sound wonderful? And it was. And several of us went to see a local pottery maker, the lady. We had no idea what she was going to do other than make pottery. As she's making this beautiful pottery, she's telling her life story, and it is anointed. It is a beautiful story. And she's not even really looking at it. She's just so good at it. She knows where the grooves are, how to do it. It is just phenomenal to watch her. When you create a piece of pottery, you take the clay and you mix it with water and you sculpt it while you spin it over and over into the shape that you want it. When it dries, you apply this glaze. Then you need to put it into the kiln and fire it, sort of like an oven, so that the colors and the textures become fixed. If that pottery is not fired and you leave it to lie without being used for a long period of time, it will dry out, it will become brittle, and it will finally break. If you drop it, it will just shatter. And that, in a sense, is a kind of metaphor that Ezekiel is describing in his vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. These are not bones that have recently lived. They have been long neglected. They are souls that have been denied God so long rejected that they've been called dead and shattered. And they now appear to be dried out, completely dead and broken beyond repair, hollow and lifeless. Now, what you don't know is Mr. Smarty Pants here thought he could just take this on a confirmation retreat, put it in one of those plastic bins, and just put some paper towels around it and take it with him. With other pottery in there. Mr. Smarty Pants here, when he unloaded, guess what? He cracked this. I was cracked. I was crushed. Cracked it all the way down. Can't even tell, can you? because a potter repaired it, put it back together. But it was not pretty anymore when it was cracked. It just didn't look the same. You see, a broken piece of pottery is a soul without God. And yet, no matter how dry, no matter how broken, no matter how alone or bereft or dead or lifeless, God can take those bones and with creative power that only God possesses, can bring those bones back to life again, like it's like it's been brought back to life again, restored, and I can use it again, and it doesn't leak. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. Just as in the creation story, God breathes life into Adam and brings that clay to life, into relationship with God, into livingness, into holiness. You know, the Hebrew word for breath or wind or spirit is zruach. You don't have to roll the R if you don't want to. I just thought it was cool. Zruach. Okay? That's the Hebrew word. It means breath, wind, spirit. Not earth, wind, and fire, by the way. It doesn't mean that. And then the Greek word is pneuma. I like that word. Pneuma. It's the same thing, but it's just Greek. Breath, wind, fire. And so here again, He breathed life back into the people. And He promises to bring His people back into relationship, into a community who will again be God's people. God will inscribe Himself on the hearts of the people so that they will honor and respect Him. God will again create a world in which love prevails and in which God's healing and restoring spirit will be the binders for all wounds, for all emptiness, for all pain. Only God can do that. Only God, says Ezekiel. Only you, God, have the power to give this kind of life, to restore people to their humanness, to bring them back into relationship with you, to create once again a holy people. And God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus came as the great restorer, the great healer, the giver of life. Don't you love how Neil and how Pastor Chris and how Ed, Dr. J, Mario, Alex, other folks here, superintendent here tonight, Mike, always bring us back to Jesus, no matter what the text is, no matter what the message is, always bring us to Jesus. I had a preaching seminary, teacher in seminary tell me one time, you can preach the most excellent sermon, but if you don't preach Jesus, don't you even stand up there. I believe that. The psalmist says in Psalm 39, you are the giver of life. In John 11:25, Jesus says this, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 6:63, the Spirit gives life. From the time the world was created to the time of Jesus' victory over death on the cross, to the time of Pentecost, when the breath of God's Spirit came upon Jesus' disciples in the upper room, God and only God in the person of Jesus and in the breath of the Holy Spirit has the power to bring dead souls to life. Many of us are here today going through life like the walking dead. You ever watch that series? I recommend you not because you'll have dreams. But anyway, you know, appearing lifelike, but feeling empty and bereft of soul, walking around like a zombie. Many of us feel that, although maybe you've had success in your marriages and your children, maybe you've got a good job, maybe you do have a good retirement, but that there's a hollow place in your heart, something missing from your life, an unhappiness that lies in the core of your being, waiting to be filled by the Holy Spirit of Jesus. So today, in just a few moments, as you come forward for Holy Communion, I want to invite you, in your own way, not the way I'm going to tell you, but in your own way, I want to invite you forward to renew your faith in Jesus, to put aside your fear, your pain, your doubt, and just come forward and to pray. Lord, come and fill me. I mean, as you're making your way up, maybe before you even leave your seat, you go ahead and start saying, Lord, come and fill me. Lord, your will be done in me. Lord, my life is yours. Folks, the hand of the Lord is on you, and you do not fear. Isaiah puts it beautifully in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. He is with you. He will strengthen you. Yes, he will help you. And he will uphold you by his righteous right hand. He's already been holding you. He made the first move. Now you just let go and you let God. And maybe that's all you do tonight when you come forward. Lord, I'm letting go and I'm letting you take over. You don't have to make it fancy or long or impressive, because he's going to hear the cry of your heart. Feel the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit wash over you as you come forward tonight, transforming you and resurrecting your heart, renewing your spirit. In Ezekiel 36, we hear the words, I will take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. In the last half of this long message tonight, this long passage tonight, we read about the two sticks. And I'm just going to give you a brief couple of lines about that. God instructs Ezekiel to join together these two sticks, wooden sticks, symbolizing the reunification of Israel and Judah into one nation. He promises to purify his people and return them to their land and establish an everlasting covenant with them under the Davidic king that continues in this very day through Jesus. Here's what we've been waiting for as we studied Ezekiel these last 7 months. God promising restoration, peace, and his enduring presence. May the Creator, our Lord God, the Potter, Maker of all that is in heaven and earth, human and not, power of the universe, fill you with the transfigurational power of life. And as we prepare our hearts for communion, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that Jesus is right here. Right now. He's nearer than the breath. Your breath. He's closer than the person next to you. Do you know you have immediate access to Jesus in this moment? That's Paul's entire message summed up. Christ in you. There you go. You don't have to read all 13 letters. You do. But by the way, teaser, our next study is going to be Ephesians. Yummy. Yes. So as we prepare our hearts, I just want to remind you, come down when you receive and just let him restore you. Let go, let God, whatever that looks like for you, whatever conversation you're going to have with him, let his Holy Spirit breathe on you anew.